Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I've been at City View since the start, almost 3 years and something, and very grateful for that. I was born in Mexico, was raised in Chicago. I've been in Chicago since about a year and a half old. I lived in the rough parts of Chicago. I live 3 blocks away from the Cook County Jail, so that'll tell you. And my childhood was pretty rough. My mom was very strict. I grew up in a Catholic school up to 12th grade, you know. Well, not up to 12th grade, because I got kicked out in high school. So when I had my first two kids, Aaron and Nathan, I was in a relationship that I went through a lot of domestic violence, to rape, and just being told that was never any good. And that's when I was like 15 to 17. And so when I had to do something, I had to just leave. I couldn't be there anymore. So when I turned 18, I took my two kids in the middle of winter, and I left. And I had to go somewhere. I couldn't stay there. So when I did that, I was sleeping on, you know, one friend's house. You know, I was couch jumping basically, and I found a family. You know, to me that was my family. It was, you know, a gang, and you know, I was the best at it because I had so much anger in me, and I was so much just to pour out. So around this time, I ended up having my now 24-year-old, Jonathan, which I didn't know was pregnant. I ended up going in with stomach ache and coming up with a baby. But so now his father doesn't want nothing to do with him. And so I'm game banging, doing drugs, drinking, and I'm with this little baby all the time. So my son's father and I, we were both in gangs. And my son's father lived always in the neighborhoods, and you know, we're all neighborhoods. So that led to my son wanting to be in a gang opposite of me, because his dad was what you call an Inca, which is the president of a gang. And he wanted to be like his dad. And of course, you know, he used to see me being a gang and his dad being a gang. He didn't really have a choice, or, you know, well, he did have a choice, because I have another son that never wanted to be in that stuff. But he didn't really, the environment that he was in, he chose to be in a gang, and his dad never said no, you know, like he never got punished or stuff like that. And I'm sure, you know, I think I was not a good example for him, and his dad was not a good example. He followed our footsteps, you know. So I made a stupid decision. I used to bring drugs from Mexico and all that fun stuff. The last one I did, I was like, oh, this is the last one I'm gonna do. And I ended up getting caught with a lot of drugs, 131 pounds and 6 kilos of cocaine in Texas. And they put me in slammer for 3 years. And that was horrible. That I had nobody there, and had no visitors. I had nobody. But the family that I did have, which was my gang friends, they stood up for me, and you know, they sent me commissary and stuff like that. And I got out. So I was determined. I didn't want that life anymore. I didn't want to go to jail anymore. I don't want this life. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to drink anymore. And I'm not going to go to rehab because when you do drugs and you do alcohol, it's a choice. I'm not going to sit here and do that, make that choice anymore, because I was in an environment where it was going to be available. And I know if it's available, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to do something about it. So I had a friend come over, invite me to Arizona just for the week, you know, and I fell in love with Arizona. And I was like, you know what? I moved to Arizona. And I did. I packed up. I left. I came over here. Had a job offer. They gave me 6 months rental. They paid for my traveling expenses. And I had a job here. And I was great. So I decided that I was, you know, this is the life I wanted. It was peaceful. No gangs. Nothing. Nothing to make any temptations, right? So everything was going good, and then my boys would come in the summer and everything was fine. Until I get a phone call on August 2nd of 2000. I get the worst phone call that anybody could ever get. Oh my God. It's my firstborn. 17 years old, killed by a gang that was the same type of gang as I was. I think when I lost Aaron, I was upset at God, you know, because why did you take my child? And I didn't understand all that, you know. But, you know, I think, like I said, January, February, I don't know, I think God was talking to me, and, you know, I think when I seen Carlos, because he was a cute baby, he still is cute, but when I seen him, you know, I felt like God was telling me, I'm giving you one more chance. This is your child. This is your do-over. Whatever you missed in all of your kids' lives, you're gonna get to do it with him. And I, to this day, I still believe that Aaron, it's not Carlos, but I still believe that God had taken away Aaron, but he blessed me with Carlos. And I think that God has been chasing me to follow him. You know, he's been like, where have you been? Because, you know, all the times that, you know, church and in jail and, you know, all those times. And I just haven't been open to it. On November 1st was our first baptisms at the Denny's, Tim Denny's and Carol Denny's house. Sure enough, I got baptized. And let me tell you that since I got baptized, life is just amazing. Yeah, I mean, everybody has hard days, you know, but it's just like a blessing. And I think since I got baptized, like, it's given me more courage to speak about Jesus, because before I didn't have courage, like, oh, yeah, Jesus, you know. And I was like, hey, you know, he's pretty awesome, you know. And I don't know, I think that's why I invite so many people, because it's awesome. I don't care who you are, like, you're at a grocery store. Oh, yeah. You know about Jesus? Come my way. You know, I don't have Bible verses. I mean, if you want a couple, I have Philippians 4:13. I have Luke 7:48. Luke 7:48 says, and then Jesus said to the woman, all your sins are forgiven. It's all I need. Even through all the things I've been through, even the loss of Aaron, I have been blessed with so much. I've had a new perspective on life. I've had freedom from just all the negativity that I used to have before. God has given me purpose. You know, I think he's gave him a purpose, you know, so that I could spread his word and bring people to his church. And we're gonna have to get a bigger theater because, you know, that's what I'm here for. Because I have the gift to give. That's it. I never thought that my life choices would lead to my son's death. But God has never stopped chasing me, and he's been with me this whole time.
Lord, you are so good. God, I thank you that you have chased each and every one of us. And some of us, Lord, you're chasing into this theater in this moment right now. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would be bold for you. God, that we would live lives that are crazy for you, recklessly abandoned for you. God, I pray that it wouldn't just be here at City View, Lord, but maybe the spark starts here. That starts a revival in our city that causes people to desire to have you in their lives. Lord, we have the hope of the world in our soul. Why we don't share it, I do not know. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would put a stirring in each and every one of us, Lord, that we would share about you and the love you have for us and the love you have for all. God, I thank you that you meet us where we are. God, I ask that you'd speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in my devotions, and this is not a verse you're going to have up there. I'm sorry. I've messed up so many verses today, man. I gave them the wrong book of the Bible and everything. I mean, but this morning in my devotions, I text this verse to a bunch of my pastor friends and out of Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, but I'm going to share with you just one part. It says in verse 4, it says, "And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence of hope, and this hope will not lead to disappointment." We have a hope that does not lead to disappointment. Each and every one of you have a hope that does not lead to disappointment. You know, and I listened to Nancy's story, and I mean, if you have not met Nancy yet, you're missing out on somebody to meet, because first off, I don't know how you haven't, if you haven't met her, because as she says, she's the gift of gab, and she will get in your face, but she also talks about how there's nobody that she will not invite. You know, and when I think about fans, you know, there's people that are fans in life of so many different things. I think of Cowboys fans. If you ever meet a Cowboys fan, you know they're a Cowboys fan. You think of a Raiders fan, you know a Raiders fan. I mean, they are, I love them. We have some in this room right now, so I won't say too much. I won't go any farther. But, you know, you've got Lakers fans, you've got Yankees fans, you've got Bieber fans. I mean, Justin Bieber fans are crazy. They're all about the age of 12 to 15 years old, and they're crazy loud, and they scream really high. And then you got the Apple fans. Have you ever met an Apple fan? A true Apple fan, they will lead you down a path where you think the only way of salvation is if you have an Apple product in your hand. And you know, a true fan will be the loudest cheerleader. They will wear the clothes that shout it. They will look like a fan. They will act like a fan. Everything about them says, "I am a fan of this." When I see Nancy's story, I see somebody who's a fan of Jesus. What are we a fan of, and who are we a fan of? I love how in Nancy's video, she makes this statement. She goes, "God has been chasing me." She goes, "I don't have Bible verses." She goes, "But I have," and then she points to one down in her ankle, Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And then she says, "And I have this one," and this one is on her wrist, Luke 7:48, which says, "Then Jesus said to the woman, 'Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more.'" You know, Nancy went from being chased by God to being a forgiven fan of God. You see, forgiveness realized becomes love mobilized. Forgiveness realized becomes love mobilized. When we realize how much we have been forgiven, It makes us want to love people so much. That's what love does. That's what forgiveness should do. It should make us the loudest people for Jesus. But so many of us have become so quiet, so docile, so embarrassed to share about who Jesus is and what he's done in our life. For some of you, it might be that point where, as Nancy said, it took for her getting baptized. That moment of saying, you know what, I'm putting it, all my cards are on Jesus, not on anything else. So that passage that she had on her arm, that one verse where Jesus says to that woman, go and sin no more. I want us to look at that whole story. If you would turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I told the people who make the slides and do the stuff on YouVersion Bible app, it was John. Yeah, that sounds really confusing when you see other stuff that's going to happen today. But we're in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. So please turn with me there. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to have verses up here. If you have your phone and it's some kind of a smartphone, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app, download it. If you don't have it, download it. You take the Bible everywhere you go. And then you can follow us there. Go to the events part of the YouVersion Bible app, and every verse I'm going to go over today, they're right there. And this is what it says. It says in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. One of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the religious sect. They were the super religious people of that time. They actually did not like Jesus. They didn't like Jesus because Jesus took from a Pharisee who was sort of, everybody looked up to them as sort of the great people of the time, the ones everybody had to go to sort of be close to God. And Jesus was saying, no, you can just go to God yourself. He was taking away their fame. He was taking away everything about who they were and putting it all on God. They didn't like that because now they lost the attention. They lost the focus. They lost everything that made them valuable. They didn't realize God made them valuable, not people. And so, but the Pharisees, even though they didn't like Jesus, this one guy, he invited Jesus over to dinner. He said, hey, Jesus, you want to come to dinner at my house? And Jesus could have been like, why? Is it for your fame? Is this so that people would notice who you are? You see, Jesus could have been so quick because how many times has somebody maybe put a white flag up and then we put the hand up? Jesus could have said, I don't trust you. But what did Jesus do? It says he went to the house. Now, I want you guys to sort of picture what the house looked like. We're going to look at a few different pictures this morning at different times in the message. So a typical house in Israel would sort of look like this. And I wish I had a laser pointer, which I don't. The Chiefs fans do. So if you see where this ladder is, right at the base here would have been sort of the courtyard. That would have been where the dinners would have been had, where fellowship would have been had, and where people would have hung out to have dinner. This is what a typical house would have looked like in the time of Israel. Their tables were not that tall. They're actually lower. We're going to see later on what a table would have looked like. So picture this. So this is what the house would have looked like, the structure. There would have been a thatched roof of some type over this, but the courtyard would have looked like this, okay? So that's what you've got to picture as we're going to read through the rest of the story and see what God has going on in this. So they would have been sitting out in this courtyard, and then verse 37 happens. It says, when a certain immoral woman from the city, the NASB says, and there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. The NIV says, a woman in town who lived a sinful life. The Message says, just then a woman of the village, the town harlot. So that's the woman. That's the lady that all of a sudden walks into the story of these super religious people. It's the sinner. It's this woman that everybody knows. They look at her and they say, hey, we know you. You're the harlot. That's who she is. That's her title. That's what she is. That's her name tag. If she had a name tag, if she had a hashtag, that's sort of what people would have known her as. Everybody in the city knew her. And so it says, when a certain woman from the city heard he was eating there, She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She had quite the reputation, didn't she? Sinner, immoral, sinful, harlot. And she hears Jesus is in town. Now you have to realize the cities in this day. You see, they were in a city called Galilee. There's two different stories that speak of women washing Jesus' feet, which that's where we're going to get to. There's one that happens in Jerusalem, and more than likely that is Mary, Lazarus' sister, who washes his feet. So there's that story. This one is totally separate from that one. It happens two different times. We have to know that. You have to understand that. This one happens in Galilee, a city where Jesus did most of his ministry. So that's this place. That's where this happened. So it's happening in this small town. It's a very small town. And the streets were small and the places were tight. And if you look here, it was a fisherman village. So this is probably what the town would have looked like. And the synagogue would have been the center of town. And if you would continue to the next picture, and you can see in this picture how tight the streets would have been. This is an actual aerial village of Capernaum. We don't know if this is the exact town, but we know she was in this region of Galilee. And we know that this is the city where Jesus did so much of his work. If you look at this building that's covered right here, that is a place that is believed to be Peter's mother-in-law's house. And the reason why they believe that is that it's the only house in the city that actually was expanded multiple times to make it big enough to fit people because it became a church. Whether that's really it, we don't know, but that's what historians believe. So if you can see sort of the structures and how tight the streets would have been, okay? Turn to the next one. Go to the next picture. And so this is sort of a street view. And look at how tight. You know, we look at how close we are to our neighbors. This is nothing. This is like you're on top of, or we live in, like, they're on top of their neighbors here. And so it says, she hears that Jesus is there and she makes this choice. I'm going to go back home. And I'm going to get that oil. She makes this choice to go back home. And you know those places where you hide the most special things that you have in your home? And you put them in that special place so that if anybody breaks in, you hope nobody finds it. That special place that if your kids are throwing a football, if you have a kids and they throw footballs in your house, which mine do, you know it's not going to be broken. Those places that you know that you put your most prized possessions, she goes right there. She goes home through the streets. She goes home and she finds that one thing. And I wonder what goes through her head when she decides to make this choice. Because how many of us, when we're about to make this choice, she's about to go to Jesus' feet. She's about to go and have this moment where Jesus turns to her, as we read at the beginning, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." She's about to go and have this moment where every burden, every pressure, all the guilt and shame that she has held is on her shoulders. She's about to have this moment where it's gone. But before that happens, she's walking through the town going, "You know what? I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to go all out for Jesus today. I think I'm really going to risk it all. I think I'm going to live this life. I think I'm really going to do it." And so she walks home and she gets ready to get her entire life savings. Her entire life savings. She goes and she digs through her closet or wherever it is. She digs up like a treasure. Maybe it's in the her floorboards of her house. So I don't know. But you got a picture. It wasn't something that like is out there on the patio porch. It's hidden. It's a prized possession for her. She goes and she gets it, and she makes this purpose in her mind. When you look at that, when a certain immoral woman, verse 37, from the city heard he was eating there, she didn't carry that with her. She would have had to go back home and get it. So she goes back home and she gets it. And I wonder how many things went through her mind going, "Oh, should I really do this? What would people think?" But you see, she didn't care what people thought anymore about her. You see, for her, forgiveness was realized and love mobilized her. She knew she was forgiven. And that forgiveness put a love in her. She said, "I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I don't care the things that are going on. I am going to Jesus. And I want everybody to know that I love him." You see, she was a fan, a follower, and a believer of Jesus. She believed that he was so much more than a good teacher, more than a good man, more than a miracle worker. She believed that he was God's son. She believed that he loved her. She believed that he was a life changer. She believed that he did it all for her. And that's what made her determined to go to him that day. And I want, as we saw that house, I want you to picture what that would have looked like. If you could go back to the first picture, RJ, of the house. So you got to think, Jesus is pretty famous. You've ever been around somebody famous and the crowd is like all up against him? And so you got to picture that there's probably tons of people sitting at, around a table here in this middle courtyard area. All the very important people. And then right outside this door is probably a crowd of people wanting to just get a moment with Jesus. But she walks through that crowd. See, she's a harlot. By her touching one person, she causes them to sin. Her touching them makes them unclean. But she didn't care. She was focused and she was determined to see Jesus. So it says then, let's keep moving. Verse 38 says, then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting her perfume on them. A woman's hair was her glory, is what the Bible says. A woman's hair was her glory. That was what the women, their hair was their prized possession. It was something that meant so much to them, yet she was using it to wipe his feet. This is when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. She's making him a sinner. She's contaminating him. She's making him dirty. He can't be God. He can't be who he really is. Look it. He's letting her touch him. She's making him ruined. She's ruining him. She's ruining his reputation. That's the first thing in this guy's mind. And then Jesus, the mind reader. So if you're ever wondering, man, I wonder if Jesus knows what I'm thinking. He does. So yeah, it's awful yet good. It says, then Jesus answered his thoughts. He answered his thoughts. And I wonder, how many of you have ever thought, but you wonder, did I think out loud just now? Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. And the Pharisee, Simon says, go ahead, teacher, what do you got? And Jesus said to him, a man loaned two people money. He loaned one man 500 pieces of silver and another man 50 pieces of silver. But neither one of them could pay him back. So he kindly forgave both of them, canceling their debts. Man, where is that person now? I need that person. Who do you suppose loved him more? Who do you suppose loved him more? So it says this woman came behind Jesus at the table. If you show me the picture, and this is probably what it looked like. This table where they would have been lounging with their feet behind them because your feet were dirty and his feet would have been behind him. And that's how she would have been able to come to his feet and she wouldn't have had to go underneath the table. Turn to the next picture. I couldn't find an actual color of Jesus because he was not some white guy with a blonde beard. If you think that, you're wrong. He is Middle Eastern. Go over there. You'll see. But you see, Jesus would have been there, and there would have been this crowd of people, servants everywhere, and the woman would have had to make such a daring move to come to the feet of Jesus. A daring move. But you see, that's what a fan does. That's what a follower of Jesus does. That's what somebody who is all bought out, who is sold out for following Jesus, they don't care what others think. They're all about what he thinks. So she steps in and she washes her feet. And he washes his feet. And immediately people start judging her. Immediately people start pointing at her. Saying, but look at her. We know her past. We knew who she was. We knew what she did. How many of us can be like Simon? We can be so quick to remember somebody's faults and forget that we need to forgive them. How many of us find us in Simon's boat? You know, we can offer forgiveness for some, but then there are some sins that we're like, I don't know if I could forgive that one. And then you see Jesus, who has no limit to his forgiveness. And Simon answers Jesus' question. Jesus goes, so which one forgave? Which one really did the forgiveness mean much? And Simon says in verse 33, well, I suppose the one who had more debt to be canceled. And Jesus goes, you're right. And then I love this part. Verse 30, 48 says, then he turned to the woman. And I wonder if Simon was right here. And Simon could see the eyes of Jesus looking at this woman who's right here. And I wonder if Simon, you know they all watched. You know the moment. You know the tension in the room. All the guys being all puff chest. All the guys being all like, man, what is this? Get this woman out of here. She shouldn't be here. You know all the guys trying to protect Jesus. And Jesus is like, I don't need your protecting. You know, it took so much power for Jesus not to just snap his fingers like Thanos and turn all those guys into dust and say, I'll make beautiful things out of you. Dust. Man, because, man, you know, you don't mess with God's kids. You just don't. Just like you don't mess when a dad has a kid, you don't mess with the dad's kids. You just don't do that. And Jesus turns to the woman. He says, look at this woman kneeling here. He makes everybody look at her. That had to have been intimidating. He makes everybody look at her. He says, when I entered your home, you did not offer me water to wash the dust off my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. He said, you did not greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. He says, you neglected the courtesy, the common courtesy. Every house I go into, you didn't do this one thing. He says, but she has anointed my feet with the rarest, most precious oil. He says, I tell you, her sins are many, but they have been forgiven. They have been forgiven. So she has much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows little. Jesus speaks so clearly and he looks down this amazing grace, this amazing love. You see, forgiveness realized, love becomes mobilized. When we realize how much we have been forgiven, love becomes such a powerful force. And that's what drove this woman. And it says in verse 48, Jesus, then he says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he can go around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, and this had to have been a stab to them. He says, your faith. Because they all knew about faith. They all knew about Abraham's faith. They all knew about faith. He says, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, when you read that, when Nancy said, this is my verse, woman, go and sin no more. And you look at this story and you realize why Nancy is such a fan of Jesus. Because a person who realizes their sin, I think so many of us, we do not realize how much we've been forgiven. Because we compare ourselves to somebody way worse. Because we think God has some grading scale of sin levels. But you see, when we realize we have been forgiven much, we love much more. Nancy, would you please come up and join me? Please welcome Nancy up to the stage, everyone. Does she have her mic? Sweet. Nancy, thank you so much for sharing your story today with all of us. I know it's been some big moments in your life lately, some tough moments, but I just thank you for sharing your stories, for just being open with everybody. So thank you. I don't like being like so much taller. But this is Nancy. Have you ever met Nancy? Yeah. So, Nancy, I got a couple questions for you. What would you say to someone who really struggles with the guilt? Because I know, like, you shared your story in your past, and there can be so much guilt for any of us who feel like my choices have affected other people. But in that, you found forgiveness in Jesus. And so what would you say to somebody who feels that guilt, and how has God's grace and love freed you in that?
Well, I still to this day have a lot of guilt from, you know, my son passing and, you know, the choices that I've made. But, you know, I look back and I just think of, like, all the great things that God has done for me and for my life. And, you know, I can't ponder on all the bad things that I've had or all the things that have happened because, you know, God's grace is so amazing, and it's, you know, it's just such a blessing to walk with God and just to be part of such a great family. And just, you know, I always have to be faithful to God because he's been so faithful to me. And I do feel guilt, but I just start to pray or read a piece of the Bible, and it's just that guilt just goes away. I just can't feel guilty anymore. Because he's amazing, you know what I mean?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's so true. Now, Nancy, you said one of the biggest turning points in your life was when you were baptized. And I remember that day. I'll never forget that day. What would you say to someone who's really, maybe they're like, you're like in your life, and mm-hmm. they're not a kid. Mm-hmm. They're an adult now. They're thinking, man, should I even get baptized now? I mean, I believe in Jesus. Do I really need to do it? What would you say to someone?
You do need to do it.
And why?
Because, you know, like, I was a Christian, you know, my whole life since I was like 18. But, you know, once you take that step into, you know, if you have those thoughts, I want to get baptized. Maybe I don't, maybe I do, but that's Jesus calling you. That's Jesus telling you, hey, come with me. I'll take you by the hand, and everything's going to be great for you. Times are going to be rough, you know, but that's Jesus is going to hold you by the hand this whole time. And if you're thinking about getting baptized, you know, just do it, and you'll see how great and amazing your life is going to be after that.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for today. And God, I thank you for, Lord, the stories that we have. And Lord, for how you interact in each of our lives. And God, I ask that each one of us, Lord, would desire to make those changes, would take those steps of faith, Lord, to follow you and, Lord, to believe in you. And Lord, not to just be a person on the sidelines, Lord, but may we be the greatest fan, the biggest follower, the loudest cheerleader, letting everybody know that you've changed our lives and that you desire to change everyone else's. God, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.